T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
NFL Sunday with Christian Fourier, Jermaine Wiggins, and Rich Keefe, broadcasting from our best yet broadcast studios in Boston. NFL Sunday, presented by Kaplansky Insurance. The right coverage at the right price. Kaplansky.com. And also in part by the New England Kubota Tractor Dealers and Needham Bank. Now here's Christian Fourier, Jermaine Wiggins, and Rich Keefe.
Hour number 3, NFL Sunday, Sports Radio WEEI, Keefe, Fourier, and Wiggy. It is week 2 in the NFL. It's been really all Antonio Brown talk, but there is a game in a couple hours from now. Patriots and Dolphins, maybe the best team in the league versus the worst team in the league. It's an 18.5 point spread on the road, a place where the Patriots historically have not been very good. It is 97 degrees, or I guess that's the heat index. You guys are big into the heat indexes.
That's a hot one.
97 degrees.
That's what it feels like.
What's the issue? We had a couple of former players here on the program. What's it like playing in this kind of heat? What's like the biggest problem?
Legs.
Yeah.
Breathing.
Your legs just get so heavy.
Don't get the car.
Arizona used to be the same way. I mean, you know, when you played in Tempe at Sun Devil Stadium before they had the new stadium, that was just as bad. Playing there at 1 o'clock game on the West Coast in that stadium, what a nightmare. You go through warm-ups, and you're just – your legs get so heavy. And when I played in Seattle, it was so different because it was always cool there. It was never really, you know, crazy hot. But you go down there to play, and you're just like, oh, my God, kill me. There's no shade
whatsoever. You're soaking
wet.
You're dripping with sweat. You have to change your gloves. You have to change your socks. You have to change this. You have to change your shirt, everything. And then it's like you can't breathe, and the sun's beat. You're, like, looking for, like, I can't breathe. Right. And like I said, don't get the cotton mouth. If you get cotton
then
mouth,
then you're screwed, right?
Then you're really screwed.
Can you overhydrate? Can that be a problem?
Nah, you just peed out.
The
best thing about that, you just pee in your pants.
Were you guys pants on the sideline, guys?
No, I wasn't. I was never.
Yeah, you go to the bathroom. Fourier would. I could tell Fourier would.
Have I ever peed?
No, I never. Listen,
I've never peed in my pants. I had the ability to hold it until
please.
Are you more likely, Fourier, you more likely to pee in your pants during a hot game or a cold game?
I would say
sounds like both. Sounds like both. If you didn't hesitate like that,
well, it doesn't matter.
I would say a hot game because you would potentially drink so much where you got to constantly pee. Where if it's cool, you don't have to drink as much the night before.
It all. You still have to drink. You know the coldness as
right,
still...
but you don't have to take down 6 bottles of Pedialyte.
My rule was if my pants were already wet. And they were like, you could tell that they were wet. And you couldn't tell the difference.
Let it fly.
I'm letting it go.
Yeah.
Into the socks.
Like, would you at least wait till you were on the sideline? Or were you on the field doing that?
Yeah. It's like sweating in the heat.
In the snow, I would literally just sit on the ground. My pants were already wet. I would just sit on the ground.
Sit on the ground?
Yep.
Why'd you have to sit down?
I peed on the sideline.
I didn't want it to be on the seat. I didn't want it, guys just come sit down. I didn't want to pee on a towel.
Well, I'd pee on the sideline.
Your trainer, grab this.
I've peed on the sidelines. What you do is the trainers will come over. You get on one knee. And then,
well, now they got the concussion tent.
When I played, we didn't have the concussion trip. Right. So the trainers had to come over with a couple towels, hang around. You get down on one knee, you whip it out, and you let it fly.
Speaking of concussions, what did you guys think of Gronk this week saying that he's fixed? He's had 20 concussions, 5 blackout ones.
I need to get some of that stuff Gronk has.
Yeah, because then he got to do a back and forth with Chris Nowinski. But it's kind of like sad almost listening to him.
Wait, it's listening to Gronk.
Yeah, here it is. Just for those who have missed it, I know we've all heard about it. For those who have missed it, here it is.
I will let my son play football, but first off, I will educate him on the game. You know, educate him on what I went through. And I truly believe that anything, any injury that you receive, is fixable, though. I mean, I went through it. I had 9 surgeries. Probably had like 20 concussions in my life. Like, no lie. Probably like, I remember like 5 like blackout ones. Like,
but you
said
you had a pint of blood drained from your body after the Super Bowl because of internal bleeding.
Yes, because of internal bleeding. But like I said, I'm fixed.
So I'm sure she's a very good interviewer, right. But I would have loved to follow up. Let's circle back to those concussions that are fixed. But because she was hung up on the pint of blood.
Does it mean like injuries, like, you know, I blew my knee out, but I was able to come back. So, like, right. I mean, yeah, you might be technically fixed from that.
Yeah, you can fix like a sprained ankle over time. Right, I don't know if you can fix concussions. In fact, Chris Nowitzki of BU Research would tell you that you cannot.
I would say he meant to say he was able to heal up from some of those things.
Yeah.
Maybe fixed was the wrong word.
So just because you don't wake up with a headache every day or throw up in the shower every single day.
Right. Or you're not peeing blood.
Yeah, you're better than you were, but right. I mean, there's still long, I think everybody knows there's long lasting damage.
Yeah, I've healed up, but you know, there are things I still deal with, but you know, maybe now that I'm doing some other things, those things don't bother me as much.
I mean,
I mean, isn't that a sign that that he isn't fixed? Is his response a sign that he isn't fixed?
I mean, get
to BU as soon as possible.
Please, hurry. He's so swept up in the CBD stuff.
Yeah. Right.
I think he's just trying to prove to everybody that like he feels great top to bottom.
The only way he can prove that is he's got to come back and play.
Well, but isn't that same with Brady, though? It's like, it's the whole Jim Jones mentality where, like, our way is the only way. It can cure everything. You won't get sunburned if you drink a lot of water.
Yeah.
It's not true.
Yeah. No, it's not.
I don't care. Maybe on the day that you did it, maybe the sun wasn't as strong. Who the hell knows?
Right.
Maybe your lotion had SPF in it, and you just thought it was because of the water.
Or maybe you're just not a person who gets sunburned. I mean,
you have that type of skin.
Or you lied about it.
Right,
or you drank the Kool-Aid.
Yeah.
Literally drank the Kool-Aid, and you're trying to sell everybody on the fact of this, you know, fire water, like it's gonna do anything.
You can just call me Mr. Recovery.
I mean, I understand, like, I understand, like, the pliability, which now all pliability for when I played is just flexibility, right? I understand being more flexible and might help you with, like, say, some of those soft tissue injuries, like hamstrings and groins and that kind of things. But then again, I mean, I don't know, because I was never the most flexible person. And I really never, I had one hamstring pull, and I was always like, yo, this dude is like mad flexible, and he pulls his hamstrings all the time. It's like, maybe we shouldn't be that flexible.
Let's go back to the phones. We got Norm.
That was my TV 12.
We got to stiffen up.
That was my JW85.
That's not bad. Norm's in Rhode Island. What's up, Norm?
Hey, good morning, gentlemen. Nice show. Thank you. All right. Can I just say something real quick for like a minute, and then you guys discuss it?
I would love that.
You were talking about what the NFL is interviewing it for and stuff like that. My theory is that they're looking at the Raiders. What did the Raiders know? When did they know it? Okay? It's kind of funny that he gets in an argument on Thursday.
Why does that matter?
He asked for his release.
Yeah.
And then Saturday, he signed by the Patriots. And then a couple of days later, I'm assuming the Raiders already knew what was coming down the road. So they were trying to avoid the whole thing. So I'm assuming that the NFL is trying to figure out who knew what when.
That last part might be right, but I don't think the Raiders, when they knew, really matters anymore. And also, Antonio Brown gave them a lot of reasons to cut him, not just this one.
Right, but I've also said this before on the record, that I think the Raiders had something to do with
her. On the record?
Yes, on the record.
All
right. Right, that's been on the record.
Pull tape.
The Raiders had something to do with maybe getting in Brittany Taylor's ear and say, you might want to move on this civil suit.
I don't think the Raiders... Come on.
Because here's the thing, right?
It sounded like there was a deadline. They've been going back and forth since April.
Right.
And they're trying to figure out what it is. I will say it is kind of curious that the deadline came a few days before her wedding.
Right. And
really
a couple days after he got released from the Oakland Raiders.
Yeah, the Patriots angle, I can't figure out. I don't get that.
Right, because usually if you have some of these situations, right, if you've been involved in a situation, and we probably all know people that have been involved in trying to have settlements, right, and they're back and forth with back and forth with the person. No, I don't want to do that. No, I'm not doing that, blah, 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 whatever it is. Then one of the persons gets to a point, the person who ultimately wants the money goes, okay, if by September 14, 2019, you haven't signed this paper, we're putting in a we're filing this as a civil suit, right?
Yeah.
So this is something that's known weeks in advance. The deadline date. They don't just roll that out on you last minute.
And you know what else I love? I mean, I don't love it, but it was interesting to hear Michael Irvin. You know,
yeah.
Even on the NFL Network, he was just like looking at this. I think we all were going, dude, what is his problem? Like, he's really dramatizing this and really making this into something that it isn't. And Michael Irvin was the first, at least I heard, you know, talk about, like, there's got to be something else. It can't just be he's a jerk.
Right.
Like, to me, because I never saw that.
So what did Michael Irvin say then?
So Michael Irvin was on with us on Friday, and he was basically saying, you know, between the helmet and
don't
the
feet. Don't play it because it's terrible.
All this stuff. Yeah, the audio wasn't great. But he was talking about all the different stuff in Oakland, and I just thought of it as simply him trying to shoot his way out of town, which I still think part of it is that.
Yeah, right? I agree.
But when you're going back and forth, and then your lawyer's like, no, she wants $2 million. And
right.
You're like, oh, my God. So that might be why he went nuts one day and then went home.
And yeah, because he was home a lot. Can't you just see?
He was.
So he mentally just couldn't handle it.
Right.
So he the last thing he wants to do is be at practice.
Right.
So he makes up an excuse with the helmet, and then it kind of works out for him. But I felt like it was more the civil suit settlement more than anything. Like, he can't tell anybody about it, so he has to make up an excuse for being in a mood all the time.
Yeah, and then he, like, threatened to retire, kind of,
yeah,
and I wonder if that was also, hey, I don't have any money anymore, so what are you doing?
So you're saying that a lot of his behavior, a portion of it could have been because he's dealing with crazy...
Yeah, I'd say 80% of it. Yeah, and that, I'd say that, 80% of
and
it.
And I think that's humanly possible.
Because we're talking about, like, July, August is where he was really going kind of nuts.
Right.
And it was April where this started. So you could see them going back and forth, and then it hasn't gone away.
Right.
There's a chance. Maybe she's putting in a deadline. I don't know when they put in the deadline, but whatever. That was there. And now we're hearing it's $2 million going back and forth. And then, you know, she's probably... you know, you're hearing her side of it, and he's like, well, that's not true, but she's building a case against him, and every day he might be getting, like, another detail. He's losing his mind.
Which is clearly possible, because anybody, you know, just anybody, you don't even have to be an athlete. If you're dealing with something behind closed doors, that whether it's at home or this or that, that's going to affect
how you're not to, right?
Yeah, it's going to affect your day-to-day living and how you're doing things, and people are going to be like, damn, what's going on with him? Why is he acting so different?
Now, he did burn his feet out. I don't know if the feet had anything to do with it.
But that's part of it.
Yeah.
Right, isn't that part of it, though?
But he could be. He was so distracted by it that he went in there without his little flip-flops, and then the next thing.
But isn't it part of it, like, to have the feet issue, have the helmet issue, and then have this going on with the accusations?
Yeah, the whole time.
All this stuff is part of it, and it just adds up, and the more trash you dump in somebody's lap, it's harder for them to
deal with. So on the field right now in Miami, speaking of feet, Antonio Brown is warming up. He's trying to get the... check the turf, and he's barefoot.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's the best.
But maybe that's a good sign, because if you've ever been on field turf,
it's hot down there.
You know how hot the field turf gets, and if you're walking around on
I want to throw him a pair of sneakers or something.
But maybe if you're walking around on a barefoot, maybe the bottom of his feet are fine.
Maybe. What do you think he's listening to?
He's doing calf raises right now.
Calf raises by the goalpost.
And he's walking around barefoot.
He had a nice little, Mike Reese tweeted out a video of him walking in off the bus. He had a nice little outfit. It was like one of those shorts.
Yeah, I was impressed with the wardrobe selection for the road trip.
Yeah.
Some shorts out there. You know, Brady had a little, like, you know, Vineyard Vine things going strong. No belt. I like it. Antonio Brown, I don't know about the big, you know, coming to America medallion around his neck.
I don't mind it.
Why not?
Flash and shine.
Flash, there's
Flash, well, yeah,
and then there's, oh my God, okay, we see you, hello. Yeah.
Right, but
well,
I don't,
he's not wearing a watch on
but
the
I don't,
field, so
I don't,
he's doing
I don't
all right.
mind the drip. Drip on him all you want, you know. I mean, now that I think about it, I'm like, man, I wish I would have played in this era here where, you know,
that would have worn that stuff?
Yeah, I definitely would have been dripped out. I would have did
would
some,
you?
Oh yeah, some crazy stuff. But you look at Antonio Brown. And like, he's working out, he's on, you know, he's out there on the field, he's probably listening to, like, some self-help.
Could be just to set up, like, a book.
Like, you are the
Alex
man.
Guerrero.
Yes, like, you're
what
the
if
man.
He's, what if he's doesn't what if he's listening to you know, Brady's book on tape?
You can do anything you want if you put your mind to it,
as read by Tony Robbins.
The world is your oyster, but you have to believe in yourself when nobody believes in you.
That's nice.
It's like, you know,
that's a good point. And then you'll take to Instagram and you'll post an inspirational quote for us.
Okay, there's the next one. There's the next prop bet. They win because they're gonna win. Antonio Brown scores. What is the I'm on the bus? Let me throw something out there. Instagram. Does he Instagram post today, before 12 o'clock at night, is there an Instagram post out there from Antonio Brown?
Yeah, and I
100%.
Yeah, I think that's an easy bet.
100%,
but I think the post.
But I mean, Brady did TB times after every win.
But
you
I think the post, and Brady always puts the videos out after the win. But I think the post is more like, you know, even when the devil's trying to take me down.
Oh, the devil will be brought up.
Right? When the devil's,
what, Kanye West?
Yeah. Even when the devil's trying to take me down.
Jesus,
God has a plan.
To be
part of an organization like this.
Prayer hands.
Is God's plan.
Yeah.
Great win by the team.
God's plan. Then you want to go, God's plan. Then you want to go, because the devil is alive.
Yeah. There'll be a lot of that. Him walking to the bus.
Yeah.
They'll definitely be something.
He definitely bigs up the team.
Now, he won't be doing Facebook Live inside the locker room with talking
about it. But he'll definitely make it a point, like, how fortunate he is to be on this organization.
They should make a joke about it, because you know how they always film, like, Matthew Slater breaking the team down afterwards? Right. They should let Antonio, like, hold the camera or something.
Well, they can't do that until all this stuff gets resolved.
That's true. It is hard. It's going to be kind of weird, right? Like, he's scoring touchdowns today, and you're like, yeah.
Yeah, you got to wait till all that's resolved.
Antonio, how do you feel about beating a civil suit conviction?
Exactly.
We got to wait that's got to come, like, week 9, week 10, after everything's been played out, and if it comes out that, you know, they find nothing, that's when you kind of go down.
What do you guys have? Catches, yards, and touchdowns. What do you got for Antonio Brown today?
Oof. Christian, you want to go first?
I'll go 5 for 50.
Wow. Okay.
I'll go 5 for 50. I think that's modest.
Yeah, that
is modest.
Yes.
I mean, because Josh Gordon had 4 for 73.
Right. You got 5 for 50 in a tug? Yeah. In a tug, two off.
No.
No touchdown. All right. I'm gonna go 5 for 90.
Yeah.
And a touchdown.
Yeah. I'm going 6 for 110 and two.
Ooh,
yeah.
Wow.
They're playing the Dolphins.
Yeah. Oh, that is true.
So who's going to be matched up with him? Eric Rowe? Johnson Batamosi? Yeah. Who's guarding Brown?
Are we actually going to talk about the game?
I don't know if we have time.
I don't know if we have any time.
Don't we have to do our picks or something?
Yeah, we got picks coming up.
Oh, yeah, and I'm doing TV.
And Troy is doing TV. That's why I got your Antonio Brown picks there. So just text John your picks off the air. He'll read them at the end.
I'm 2-1 from last week.
I know. I'm 1-2.
Yeah, you and Christian are 1-2.
No, I know. Well, so, there's only one way to go. That's up.
I hate,
you could go down.
I hate making picks. I hate making picks. I do. I hate it.
Come on. It's part of the game.
It's part of the
fun.
Yeah. Well, I know.
I'm pretty good at it, so I don't mind it.
Yeah. Oh, my God. One day, he's 2-1. He's like, I'm the best.
Good. Hey, that's a winning, that's a winning record.
Good. All right. We will say goodbye to Fourier. Good stuff, Christian, as always.
Later.
Thanks, brother.
Tommy Kern will join us in about 10 minutes. Plus, we will have the inactives, the official inactives. We know Brown's playing, but Marcus Cannon, we'll see who else ends up being inactive today. Today, this is NFL Sunday, brought to you by Kaplansky Insurance.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Back to NFL Sunday with Christian Fourier, Jermaine Wiggins, and Rich Keefe on Sports Radio WEEI.
I'm told that Brittany Taylor, his accuser, in a civil lawsuit accusing Antonio Brown of rape and other charges, is going to meet with the NFL tomorrow. They are fast-tracking this investigation, obviously, because of the time element. They want to be thorough, but they do want to have things done quickly. I'm also told Antonio Brown will cooperate with the NFL, as he is compelled to do. And there was another NFL player, a rookie, who was present for at least one of these alleged incidents. Likely the NFL will want to speak to him, too. I'm also told that neither the NFL nor the Patriots, including owner Robert Kraft, were aware of these charges before they signed Antonio Brown. Kraft would not have signed off on this had he known.
That's Ian Rapoport. Then why is he still on the team? If that's true, and I just think I reject it as being fact. I think it's just sort of for a looks thing. You want to say, hey, yeah, see, we wouldn't have brought this in. We wouldn't have wanted this. It's like, hey. Yeah, you would have. He's the best receiver in the league, and you're going to take your chances here. It's a civil lawsuit.
Right.
You're going to wait and see what happens, because if Robert Kraft was so adamant that they wouldn't have signed him, Well, what's changed? You can still send a message.
I think there's truth in the sense that they didn't know there was a civil lawsuit coming. I believe that part of it. They didn't know there was a civil lawsuit.
No, but there's been negotiations since April.
Right, but those...
And Brittany Taylor apparently wanted $2 million from Antonio Brown.
But there was also reports that those negotiations have been confidential, right? That
true.
Neither parties have, you know, uttered a word about these. So I think maybe they knew there was a situation, the Patriots, like Kraft knew there was some situation out there, but... To the extent of exactly details of what details they knew about that situation,
yeah,
we don't know that, but I do believe that they didn't know there was a lawsuit coming.
There was a deadline, again, between the two sides and their negotiations, there was a deadline put in place for last Sunday night, and that was where they were going to figure out the $2 million, and Antonio Brown's, he and his side decided not to sign it.
When
and
was this deadline put in place?
Was this deadline put in place
2-3 weeks ago? Or was this deadline, you know, did this deadline get dropped in Antonio Brown, so is him and his lawyer's laps?
I don't know that one. Because Darlington's tweet just says that they entered into settlement discussions in April,
right,
which included mediation in May,
right,
culminating in a deadline last Sunday night to sign a monetary agreement that would end the sexual assault claims against him. He chose not to sign it. Does not mention
if that was
something right out of the gate or not.
Right. So that would be interesting to find out.
All right. We have the inactives here. We have the inactives. And let's see. Juwan Williams, mm-hmm, Dietrich Wise, Brandon Bolden, Damian Harris, Jacoby Myers, Jermaine Illuminor, and Marcus Cannon. Hmm. So Cannon was down there,
right,
made the trip with the team, was on the field prior to the game, but no real surprise there. We didn't think he was going to play. Probably more of a surprise that he practiced all week.
Yeah, that was a bigger surprise than anything.
And so Antonio Brown officially is active for the Patriots. Let's bring in Tom E. Curran from NBC Sports Boston. He joins us now. Tom, how are you?
What's up, Rich? How are you? Hey,
Tommy,
Woody?
How you doing, buddy?
Doing pretty well.
Great, bud.
The Antonio Brown stuff, there just continues to be news every single day. And in this case, both on the field and off the field. He will make his debut, but I want to go back to something that Rappaport put in his most recent article. I want to get your take on it. He says that the Patriots nor the NFL knew of any coming charges against Brown. Had the team known, Robert Kraft would have not signed off on the signing. What do you make of that?
Well, that's his report. I reported earlier this week and talked. And I think sometimes some of these things that are coming out today are things that were reported earlier.
Yeah.
I think that's maybe a little bit of trying to put the toothpaste back in the tube, but it also speaks to, look, it was a civil allegation, and I think that the Patriots are putting this in the area of if there's no criminal investigation, and I'm not just talking football-wise, but also ownership. If it was a criminal investigation and the authorities had been involved when this happened on Tuesday night and the story broke, I think that he would be gone. Whether or not they would have said to him, please don't do that, I find that easy to believe, given the week of the Patriots being attached to all reports about sexual assault and rape and their logo affixed to Antonio Brown. But I do, as the week has gone on, I found it dubious in the extreme to think that the Patriots did not know. But as the week has gone on, I more readily accept that they did not, because I think that Rosenhaus, between talking to Charles Robinson and seeing other reports about the NDA and the fact that they were trying to settle, I don't think that Rosenhaus revealed to the Patriots the level of issue that was coming down the pipe.
But do you think that they knew about something? Maybe not that there was a civil suit coming, but there was some type, there was just something going on with Antonio Brown and a woman as far as them trying to settle something. Do you think that they knew something?
Let's put it this way. That would only be conjecture. They should have, given the fact that there was plenty of social media buzz relative to that that emerged, I believe, on Saturday night. So they should have been at least aware to an extent of what was buzzing out there. That's part of the due diligence you have to do if you're a team like the Patriots, that the onus is on you. They've been burned by failing to do due diligence in the past with their investigations and keeping track of players. So, but if Rosenhaus doesn't tell you and you ask him directly, then I don't know where you go with that. But I do understand. I do more readily accept, not excuse the idea that they probably could have known or should have known, but I do more readily accept that they did not know.
Now, Brittany Taylor is scheduled to meet with the NFL tomorrow, and then Antonio Brown, I'm sure, at some point this week. Fourier brought up something kind of interesting earlier in that he doesn't think the NFL should even get involved in this. If it's a civil lawsuit, he's saying, why should they even interview either side? Let that play out, you know, in the courts or wherever it may be, but it's really not an NFL issue.
I don't know why he would think that. I really don't. It's just every single player who signs a contract, it makes very clear that players are held to a different standard separate from law enforcement. Every one of them, whether it's Ben Roethlisberger or Randy Gregory or Albert Haynesworth or you name it, the onus is on the NFL because of its brand to have a certain level, and it's within the CBA. You can't be sitting people down without cause.
Yeah. I think, Tom, the reason why he said it, because then he brought up, like, what if somebody said, oh, the neighbor of Antonio Brown's fence was on his property and he's filing a civil suit against him. Is the NFL supposed to intervene and investigate that?
Well, and I know you just thrown out a for instance, but yeah. It's very clear in the CBA that it has to rise to the level of violence or crimes of abuse, et cetera. Mm-hmm. So the fence, they're not going to need to do that.
Okay.
But yes, it's in the CBA that the players are held to a different standard. And we've gone through it a fair number of times this week as to what would land a player on the exempt list. And this would absolutely rise to the level of it. You have to, the onus is on the league as the most public brand in America among professional sports to make sure that they're putting players on the field who are not somehow guilty of heinous crimes or actions towards women or anyone.
Now, at this point, Tom, because it is such a he said, she said, and we've gotten some details from both sides sort of alleging as to what happened and what took place, they're going to have the meetings, they're going to sit down next week. But I feel like barring a video or a tape recording or maybe some more emails, I thought the Antonio Brown emails were not a good look for him, but they also don't make him guilty. I just feel like, what do you think it's going to have to take for Antonio Brown to either be put on the exempt list or just suspended outright or anything to take him off the field?
I think, and we can have a discussion, but I don't think you're fully on board with the notion of the emails not rising to the level of exempt list worthy. I think that seen through a different set of eyes, you could reasonably make the case that those are reprehensible enough,
mm-hmm.
Laden with disrespect for a person, disgusting enough in acknowledging an act that he seems to at least acknowledge within the email was not consensual, that those alone could be enough to land him on the exempt list. When we really think about that, but what we also have to establish is whether or not Antonio Brown wrote the email. Again, that's why the due diligence aspect is important to this. Yes?
Right.
100%.
But the other thing I would then say is, like, well, if you're going based off the email, and I know, like, when you look at the email, there's some bad stuff in there, and you look at it, go, this isn't a good.
I mean, it's gross, man.
Right,
I mean,
right.
Seriously.
But think about the Tyreek Hill situation. There was audio there.
Yeah, we heard that.
And there was nothing done with the audio that we heard of what he was saying, and that was gross and disgusting too. And you did nothing for that. So I think when you stop,
I don't know what we're doing. I really don't. It's we're going back and forth on levels of reprehensibility.
Well, I think we're trying to
conclude. We're contorting ourselves into a way that makes it seem like what he did wasn't that bad, or other guys have done it, so it's okay with them.
In
the Tyreek Hill situation,
mm-hmm.
that was in the context of a conversation. Wasn't written, wasn't malice aforethought. I'm not saying that what he said was right, where he says, you better be afraid of me,
mm-hmm.
especially if he has, you know, a past domestic violence situation.
Right, yeah.
But I also think that is less tangible. It's less tangible as a direct threat. I mean, I could see me and Rich getting into an argument and him saying that to me.
Right. Well, but I could, you're right. All right. But the way I look at it is, like, I look at the situation because we're asking how the commissioner makes a decision, right? And the only thing that we know out there that is damning for Antonio Brown, from at least what we see, is the email, right? So we say, okay, is the email enough? If that's all that when Brittany Taylor meets with the NFL investigators, and who knows?
I don't think so. You're right.
Right.
I don't think that it is. And that's why I would imagine and I don't know this to be the case, but I would imagine that the NFL is really hoping that it finds some kind of more damning evidence mm-hmm. that has a little bit greater, because I'm sure that the NFL would prefer him not to be on the field and dominating week two news in their 100th anniversary.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But they also have a CBA that's collectively bargained with the players that they are negotiating the next one for now. They also have the commissioner's disciplinary arm and player conduct stuff that we all know so well from the 2016 situation with Tom Brady is in the spotlight. So they have to treat it like player X, not Antonio Brown, who mm-hmm. has a tendency to be kind of a nitwit. They have to treat it as player X has this allegation against him. We can't put him down because, you know, he does and has done dumb things in the past. They have to go slowly with it. But I'm sure, as anybody, regardless of which team you root for or how badly you think Antonio Brown is being done wrong, there has to be an element where everyone realizes that the NFL itself would prefer Antonio Brown to be watching football games until it's resolved.
Well, on the field, the other reports, as we're talking to Tommy Curran, the Patriots plan to feed Antonio Brown the ball today. And I know there are different receivers, but the first thing that jumped out to me was that game against Tennessee where it seemed like they were dead set on feeding the ball to Josh Gordon, and it wasn't working that day, and yet they kept forcing it and forcing it and forcing it. This is not a team, I don't think, that just says this is what we're doing regardless of, you know, what's going on. They sort of take what the defenses give them. Is this the best game plan, just to feed Antonio Brown?
I don't think that that's accurate.
Okay.
Given the people I spoke to, was actually expressed to me that, first of all, it was expressed to me that he has been outstanding through the first three practices, football-wise, not distracted, understands concepts, clearly a rare talent, who has the great instincts, but also is getting the concepts of when something's explained, when you see this, we want you to do this, and he's getting it right the first time. It was said to me that, look, he's not going to get the volume he anticipates. This is a player who's seen 10 balls over the course of his career every year except for his rookie year. So feeding might be, hey, here's your food at the beginning, the way they used to do with Brandon LaFell, but I don't think it's going to be a steady diet of pounding it to him unless he's open, unless he's available. But to me, the Josh Gordon example, that was an overmatched Patriots team on that particular Sunday. They just played poorly, and those were prayer shots because he knew that that was the only player who could win 50-50 balls. In this, I think you can have a much more diverse game plan. But do you guys feel, Wiggy and Rich, do you feel that they needed him offensively? Because I feel that they did and do need him.
Yes.
Because they are, regardless of what happened last week, I think that they are, in the passing game, under-equipped.
Yeah, I would.
Antonio.
I would agree with you because
like the big play guy they didn't seem to have.
Well, because I would agree because 2 weeks ago, if you would have said, "Okay, what do you think about this Patriots receiving core?" I think we might have said, "Okay, it's good, but
every guy had a question mark."
Do they have enough? Josh Gordon is who we think he is, right? And how long can we depend on him? Mm-hmm. Can we depend on Philip Dorsett? We don't know what the situation is with N'Keal Harry. Jacoby Myers is an undrafted rookie free agent. So I think when you look at this team, regardless of what they did to Pittsburgh, you look at them and you go, by adding Antonio Brown, what it does, it shores up your passing game in the sense of you know you have two big playmakers in Antonio Brown and Julian Edelman in that receiving group.
Yeah, and you've replaced Rob Gronkowski.
Right.
In essence, you've replaced a Hall of Fame player with a Hall of Fame level talent.
Right.
So, what trio, Tom, do you think is better, or which is better for Tom Brady, the Moss, Welker, Stallworth, or Brown, Edelman, Gordon?
Probably Moss, Welker, Stallworth, in my estimation. Mm-hmm. But I do know this. They're very, very, very happy with Josh Gordon. And I was surprised with how in shape Josh Gordon was last week.
See,
Didn't he sound different, too, in the postgame?
I would disagree with that one. I think when you look at this trio.
But you'd take these guys.
Right, because I think
Edelman's a better football player than Welker, as much respect as I have for how incredible he was.
Right.
You know what?
I think Gordon's much better than Stallworth.
Yeah. And AB could do more than Randy Moss. You know what?
You might have convinced me.
All right. But there you go.
Jabbar Gaffney versus Philip Dorsett, I'm giving that to Jab.
Okay.
Yeah,
well, we get Dorsett looked good last week.
Yeah, but I like Dorsett. But and then you look at the running back position: James White, Rex Burkhead.
I'm just talking receivers.
No, no, okay. But all right. So the receiver, I think that with Antonio Brown, when I say you can do more with him as a receiver,
yeah,
than Randy Moss, you can run him from multiple. Like you really weren't running Moss from the slot. You could do that with Antonio Brown.
100%. Yeah, that's why I was mentioning the versatility. You got a straight outside the numbers receiver, except for the rarest occasions with Moss. And Antonio Brown, I guarantee you he's going to catch the ball between the numbers today. I guarantee you he's going to be catching the ball in there. But they're really happy with the comprehension and early returns, at least on the field. And we'll see what happens off. But I got to jump. Phil Perry is texting me and says, get out of here. We have another thing to do.
All right, Tom. All right, Tom. Thanks so much, Tom.
We'll see you later.
Check out Tom, NBC Sports Boston, both on the website and on the television. So there's Tom McCartney. He'll be joining us all season long here on NFL Sunday.
And I believe that this team on paper right now is better than the 07 team.
I think you might be right.
Where we are.
Because the defense might be a little bit better. Right? I love the defense. Right. Everybody loves the defense. The running backs are better.
Right.
Tight ends, it was kind of a nothing on both.
Yeah, and it's like younger Ben Watson versus an older Ben Watson. You know, so that's kind of like a wash.
The receivers are better. Overall, I think they are better.
Right.
And then Brady, I think
he's better now.
I think he might be worse, but it's slightly. I think he's
better because he knows the game more now.
Yeah, he's got that going for him.
Than he did. And it's never really been about his physical, you know, his physical attributes, right? It's never really been about, he could still probably throw the ball the same distance now than he could in 2007, you know.
Yeah, probably.
And it's not like it's the arm strength, and it's not about mobility or anything like that. So when I look at this team, 19 versus 07, right now, where we are, I think 19's the better team, but 07 proved it throughout the year. So now you have to ask me the question at the end of the year, and you know we'll see
what the answer
might be.
We will see, and we'll get a chance to see Antonio Brown in a Patriots uniform for the first time today when the Patriots kick off with the Dolphins at 1 o'clock. We still have our picks to get to.
Yes.
Wiggy's very excited about his week one picks.
Yeah,
we'll make
good.
Three more picks, the Patriots and two other games that are on the schedule. This is NFL Sunday presented by Kaplansky Insurance, the right coverage at the right price, Kaplansky.com, and also in part by the New England Kubota Tractor Dealers and Needham Bank.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Listening to NFL Sunday, presented by Kaplansky Insurance. The right coverage at the right price. Kaplansky.com on Sports Radio WEEI.
But on the other hand, what's the big deal? Because there's plenty of guys just like him in the NFL. The other thing is...
No, there's not.
What's that?
There's not a lot of guys like him. Like, his skill set
really?
Or his
really?
Issues?
What happened to Kareem Hunt? Is he playing for nobody right now?
Hold on, shut up! His skill set or his personality?
Well, fine, we disagree.
Jeez, no, we're not disagreeing. I don't know what you're talking about.
I said he's just not a good guy.
I just want to yell at you.
We had a fired up Fourier earlier in the program. He had to go cool off new TV.
Yeah, he didn't understand. I forget who the caller's name was.
Yeah,
he didn't really get his take on it.
I didn't really get his take either.
Well, he said...
Well, he was trying to make a case that the NFL just has a million bad guys. Is that what he was trying to say?
I don't know.
I don't really. That's the problem. Then Fourier starts screaming at him.
Yeah, there's not a lot of... there's a handful of bad guys. I mean, that's
of course, everywhere. Every business.
But then
Fourier
said his skill set, there's not many guys that have Antonio Brown's skill set.
No, I think that's a very short list, hence why they brought him in.
Extremely short.
So he will make his debut today. And now it is our pick segment, our very successful pick segment. John... We know that Fourier hates making picks.
Do we have music for this pick segment?
Oh, yeah. We could definitely use some music. Some pick music.
Yeah,
right? That's what we need. Fourier hates it, so it's no surprise that he's not here.
Right.
But we told him to text John so John can weigh in. We're doing three games every single week. Always the Patriots and two other games. Usually two of the marquee games that are there. A couple of good ones, actually, this week.
Yeah, I've looked at some of these games.
So now I'm not going to catch you off guard
when
we have these picks. Here we go. Nothing.
Let's start with Fourier.
What is Fourier? Oh, by the way, so last week, Wiggy went 2-1.
Yes.
Yes. So Wiggy went 2-1 last week. Wiggy was correct on Indy covering -6.5.
Wow.
And Keith and Fourier both went 1-2, only correct on New England.
Ugh.
Or excuse me, Keith was right on Kansas City. And
I did not. I thought New England was going to win, but close. I didn't think they were going to cover, and they covered in plenty. Five times over.
Plenty of room to cover.
All right, so 1-2 for me and Fourier, 2-1 for Wiggy. So we got three more picks this week. Let's do the Patriots one first.
Lines we are going off of, this is from the William Hill Sportsbook, which is what our good friends Twin River use.
Very nice.
So here are Fourier's pick for the week.
Do we do one at a time?
Yeah, let's do one at a time.
All right, so start with New England.
Patriots are laying 18 in that book. So you get it at 18.5 someplace. Okay. They got it at 18 on the road against the Dolphins. What's Fourier going with?
And Fourier has the Patriots covering.
Yeah.
Okay.
Muggy?
Patriots covering.
Yeah, I think so, too. Yes. And I do subscribe to, and I guess Glenn was saying this a little bit on Friday, I don't think it's going to be just running it up like 07 style, because Brian Flores, you have too much respect for him. You know his team sucks.
Right.
They're going to put up their points. They might win 42-10 or whatever.
Sad at like 38-10.
But I think fourth quarter, you know, they might ease off. They might not even score in the fourth quarter because the thing is a laugher at that point. But, yeah, I think we all have them covering. Despite the struggles in Miami, the struggles against former Belichick coaches, it doesn't matter today.
Right.
Patriots roll.
And it is Fitzpatrick.
And it is Fitzmagic.
He's usually pretty good in like the first 2 weeks.
I know.
You get him in 2 or 3 weeks in the beginning, you got a good chance.
This is the good Fitzpatrick. What's the next game?
And now we've got on the West Coast, starting at 4:25 East time, is a rematch of the NFC Championship game. The Saints are +2 on the road at the LA Coliseum against the Rams.
There we go.
What did Christian have? So Saints.
What did Fourier
Saints
have?
+2.
What did Fourier have?
So Fourier has the Saints winning.
Ooh.
He has the Saints covering, so they could lose by one.
That's right.
Okay, the Saints covering.
I'm going Rams.
Yeah, I'm co-signing.
I'm not a big Saints guy.
I'm going Rams. It's in L.A.
Yeah, Rams.
Yeah, it's outdoors. Different thing. I'm going Rams.
Absolutely.
As well.
I'm going with the Rams. I think they're the better team. Last game.
And the final game, our Sunday night football matchup, Philadelphia Eagles on the road. They are favored by 1 point against the Atlanta Falcons. And Christian Fourier has the...
Uh-oh.
We're not doing ads in the middle of our music
there. Right in the middle there. I was really grooving to that there, too. That was
And Christian Fourier has the Eagles winning and covering.
Okay.
I'm going to go with that, too.
Yeah, I think Atlanta stinks.
I don't like Atlanta. I'm actually surprised. I mean, they're a home dog, technically.
But they
stink. Getting one. But, yeah, so give me the Pats, Rams, and Eagles. So we have the same picks this week?
Yeah, it looks like it is.
Wiggy's just trying to keep his lead.
No, but he's
got to flip on one.
I got to flip on all of them.
Well, no, you and I agreed on the Rams. Christian went
with... Fourier has different pick. That's the one different pick. All right. We'll see how we do.
So Fourier could catch Wiggy this week.
And we're keeping track of this all...
Yes, and from my understanding is that there will be a pretty graphic that is much more readable than the graphics I make.
Let's hope it's not.
I think it was,
that will be out on Monday.
I think it was the Atlanta game that really, because Atlanta stinks.
Atlanta does stink.
Who they played last week, and they almost got shut out. They were that bad last week.
Minnesota. Yeah, they're not very good.
Yeah, it was Minnesota, and the quarterback went 8-10.
Yeah.
Kirk Cousins went 8-10. And
still can't believe that.
And you lost, 28-12. And at one point, it was like 28-0, I believe.
Any of these other games jump out at you? Vikings-Packers, one of your old teams, Wig, going into Green Bay today? That could be a good one.
No, the game that is going to jump out to me that I will watch is the Cleveland Browns-New York Jets.
Ooh, Monday night. That's Monday Night Football.
Yes, because you're still high on the Browns.
Well, yeah, and if they can't beat the Trevor Siemian Jets, then I might have to jump off. But I think the Browns put it together this week. They figure it out. They go into Jersey. They get their first win of the year. But yeah, pretty good slate of games actually between the Saints, Rams, Eagles, Falcons, Packers, and Vikings is a good one.
I would have said Houston would have been good, but now that
how about Seattle, Pittsburgh? It's not bad.
I think Pittsburgh stinks.
I do too, but it's in Pittsburgh,
right? Well, that's a good point. But now that Nick Foles is out, how do you feel about that backup from Jacksonville?
Love that guy.
Played good,
Gardner Minshew.
Yeah.
Love that guy.
So then here you go. Jacksonville and Houston could be a good game to
watch. Did you see his outfit getting off the plane yesterday? It looks like, was it like Miami Vice or what is that? Like a roller derby porn star?
Wow.
He looks out of control.
He's trying to sell that drip.
But he could win. He could end up, taking that job.
You know, he stretches naked.
I did not know that.
In the locker room.
Big ringer story this
week.
Is that
right? Yep. Stretches naked.
Yeah, I would.
Mike Leach would walk in on him, too, sometimes, and he would just be stretching naked.
in the locker. You got to get a good stretch, you know?
Well, I mean, I understand that, but yeah. You know what? You know, maybe you want to do that, you know, someplace with some clothes on. Yeah, at least put a jock on. That's all
yeah,
I
ask. Yeah, you could.
You know.
All right, well, give me a final.
Minnesota Green Bay.
Give me like a final one. Score pick for the Pats Dolphins just so we get that on the record as well.
I'm going to go 38-6.
Yeah, I like that. Give me like a 35-3. Similar to last week,
right.
But they really call the dogs
right.
off in the fourth quarter.
Right. Christian has it. I believe it was 84-7.
Yeah, I think that's what he had.
Yeah, I think.
And then he could come through. That could come through as well. All right, that's going to do it for us. It's an abbreviated NFL Sunday this Sunday, and I believe next Sunday because of the Red Sox. And then we are back in for a full four-hour program at the Shed. Also, Tommy Kern for joining us. Wiggy, Keith, everybody have a great NFL Sunday. Tom Brady on with Greg Hill tomorrow. We got Wiggy's going to be with us on Dalen Keefe, James White, Daron Harmon, and, of course, Bill Belichick with OMF. This is NFL Sunday, brought to you by Kaplansky Insurance.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.